BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm in Lone Hill in Johannesburg today to talk to none other than former Olympic and Paralympic swimmer Natalie du Toit, who is now involved in a new blockchain-based startup called Sports Podium, aimed at the sporting community. Natalie, thanks so much for your time today. Natalie is joined by two of her colleagues in Sports Podium, co-founder Yaku Rousseau and Chief Technology Officer Peter Buerta. Gents, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. Natalie, you're the famous one in the room, so let me pick on you first. Are you still swimming professionally? And what's really keeping you busy these days?
So, thanks, Duncan. I think in terms of keeping me busy, a number of events and such likes. Obviously, today is week here for Sports Podium. In terms of swimming, I haven't really been swimming. However, actually through Sports Podium, we'll be taking part in the Mid-Mile Mile. Okay. Without much training behind my name at all. But so still a retired swimmer and actually going to swim for a charity called the Teddy Bear Clinic. So, you know, just supporting them. Other than that, I sit on a few boards and commissions. And then obviously part of Intercom as well, which is the communication side. And then Sports Podium. And I think, you know, one of the most important things for me about Sports Podium is the ability to give back to anybody who loves sport, who is in sport, and who wants to be part of sport. So the blockchain is a great promise, and I think an amazing project. So I know we're here for that today.
Sure. So how did you get involved in this project, Natalie? How did it come about?
Wow. So one of our team members, actually, Christian Smith, mm-hmm. Is actually on board with Sports Podium, and you know, I think Christian got me involved in the team as well. And so there are actually five of us that are part of the core team. And from that perspective, I've come on board more as the development officer, so trying to get those ambassadors on board. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of sport, both Chris and myself have been in that sporting industry. And from that perspective, we're able to, I think, see it also from the sporting perspective and the sporting side of things. I know Yaku and Peter have also been involved in sport and had a lot of friends within sport. So I think all of us have that passion for sport behind us, and that's what this project is really about. Blockchain is an amazing, what would you call it, project in terms of transparency and accuracy as well. So from that perspective, I think that's where we look at. And for me, that was special because of, you know, everything that happens within sport nowadays.
Sure. Yaku, let me bring you in at this point. You're a former executive, if I'm correct, at Business Connection and several other tech companies in South Africa. You're also involved in Danel's Roy Falk project. It must have been quite interesting.
It was definitely very interesting. Thanks, Duncan. Yeah, I've been in the IT industry for most of my life after studying. Also started various businesses, some successful, some not so successful, as you do. I'm more from a technical perspective, and being a founder, Sports Podium started actually many, many years ago. It's a result of a product that we developed many years ago. We started actually in 2012 mm-hmm. with a solution called My Rugby CV, where we looked at sporting people in sport, which is not... it is very difficult to find talent if you're in a small little town all across anywhere in the world. If you're not part of the bigger schools, the larger schools, the more well-known schools. And I'm a problem solver by nature. And being in IT, I always wondered if there's a way to use technology or to actually bring that into sport. And through the years, we then started my rugby CV and actually built a very successful solution. But there was always something that was missing. We got the people to use the solution, we got the rugby players on the platform, but we never got to the point where there was actually an incentive for people to use the system. And that is where the blockchain, and more specifically one of the applications on the blockchain, cryptocurrency, came to the fore to solve the one issue that we had on the solution. But from the history part, Roy Falk many years ago, it was pre-2000, very, very interesting project.
What was your involvement there?
I was on the development team from on the project.
Okay.
I did some work on the Roy Falk. Actually, not through Denel, I worked through a company called Excel, which I'm not sure if they exist anymore. But that was pre-2000, so many years ago.
Right.
Ended up going to the UK, worked for the Royal Air Force.
Yeah.
Did some work for them, very similar to the work that I did in the Roy Falk. And then I ended up back in good old South Africa, my home.
So an engineering background then?
Yeah, software development.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I wasn't part of the engineering team. I was actually a developer on the
right.
From that side, yeah.
So talk us through how you went from My Rugby CV into Sports Podium. What was the evolution there, and how did the other guys get involved?
Sure. So My Rugby CV did actually very well. We started that, like I said, in 2012, where we targeted rugby players, more schools, school-based players. And we ended up getting a tournament just outside Rustenburg called the Konkar Rugby Tournament. Now, Konkar is for under-9s to under-13s. It's normally about this time of the year, just after February, March. They do a tournament there. And we use the application to capture the stats at the actual tournament. And it's only under 9s, under 10, 11, and 13. There was a bit of resistance in the beginning from the teachers and the not the players themselves. It was a very manual process at that point in time. So when the schools play against each other, we capture some very specific stats onto the system. And then we use various algorithms that we've developed over time to find the best player per position. I always say, if you look at swimming or you look at athletics, there's a time involved. You either run that fast or you don't. But how do you identify the best hooker or the best winger? And we did that through getting information from various players in the various positions in the in the teams, and most importantly, the opposition side. I've always said, if you look at, let's say, Waterkloof is playing Afis, and the process that we used for Rugby CV was we rated every player, and the coach themselves rated the players, just like 1 out of 10, but they're very biased to their players, always like that. But if you ask an opposition coach, for example, don't rate the other team's players. Just tell me one position from the opposition side that is for you a good player. And let's say the coach from Afis identifies the winger from Waterkloof. Then Waterkloof plays many other schools, and three or four of the opposition coaches identifies the winger from Waterkloof as a good player. My logic tells me that there must be something in that player, because they've only played against him once, but everybody's mentioning this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the algorithm will then push some of these players up. There's many other parts to the algorithm as well. And what happened is then, of the third year that we did the Konkar tournament, there was less or much more interest in using the system. The third year, actually, the coaches asked, where's my Rugby CV? He's in the year again this year. And the fourth year was very successful, and they actually used a system, the My Rugby CV application, to identify two teams that do it internationally, from the under-13s. So we selected 44 players that do it to Europe as a result of the solution. But The one thing that was always short, I can't say it's easy. It took a lot of years to get to the algorithms that it works. But it was difficult to get people to actually use the system after the tournament. The idea of Rugby CV was that anybody that goes away, play other games, capture their own information into the system. And although many people did, most people did not. Because it's not like Facebook where you've got a reason to post a picture to your grandmother or to your mother or something that you did. So there was no incentive for users to actually use the system after the, except for tournaments. And I was introduced to blockchain in the end of 2015, beginning 2016. And everything just fell into place. Okay. It was the solution that we've always been waiting for. Where we can now incentivize users with a token to capture the information.
Right.
If you look at the mission of Rugby CV, of Sports Podium, we are looking to build the largest database of sports information globally. And we will incentivize users to capture their data. There's obviously data protection acts and all those kind of things that we have to look at, that we will that's part of the system. So there's things that you can share with people and things you can't share. But most importantly, what we've also learned from Rugby CV is that the target audience, athletes at schools, are very technology savvy. So if we gamify this application and make it a competition in entering your information, etc., and combine that with incentive with the incentives from a token perspective, you've got a winner.
Okay.
And that's how we ended up with Sports Podium. And from a team side, I've worked with Peter before, as well as Robert Marshall, the our other partner in the business. Rob is a very successful businessman, and we've partnered up for Rugby CV already. And we focus on the Rugby CV. We went through all the growing pains of what we will face with Sports Podium.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided let's blockchain fire this, and then bring in cryptocurrency. And then for that we need other people. We brought Chris in from a marketing perspective, and Chris introduced us to Natalie. And one of the things that we do not believe in is that we're not going to just build the software application and people will come and use it. That's why we have people to the likes of Natalie and various other ambassadors for a sporting discipline that will drive adoption for that sporting discipline. So they've got a network of friends around the ambassador, and all that will be used to actually bring people onto the application. Because one thing you don't want to do is just build an application and nobody uses it.
Yes.
We've been through that.
So what sort of information are you looking to build? You're saying the largest global database of sports information. What sort of information are you wanting to store and why?
Look, there's various aspects to it. We want to start small by a very specific niche of information. We're starting with golf, sport of golf, and then general fitness information. Due to the fact that every sport have very specific requirements, every federation, every sport have different things. Rugby is different than hockey, then different than soccer. So we're going to start with golf, then with fitness devices. So any wearable that can provide information, and we've got an open API to. We will use that information, and as you provide information, you will be incentivized with a token.
Okay. So do you connect with services like Strava and Garmin and all those
that
things?
That is 100% the idea. Okay. That is what we want to do through time. We have to start somewhere. So we're starting with the golf, and then we're currently in development, but that's more a Peter question from who we're going to integrate to. But that is definitely the idea. We will definitely integrate with those larger devices.
Okay.
Can I jump in here?
Of course, Peter.
I want to add to that question. So the kind of data that we're storing includes things like dietary information, what kind of exercise you're doing, also how you're performing during your practice runs and the kind of information that you can't get on the internet today. Also, for the typical amateur, so if you look at what the pros do, you know their times, you know what tournaments they take part in and exactly what kind of performance levels they are at the moment. But if you try to find that for amateurs, it's literally not available. Also, you don't know, how many push-ups the guys did before they were famous. So what kind of practice program or exercise program that they do before they got to the pro level. So that's the kind of information that we want to store, and I think that's a different approach than a lot of other projects out there.
Okay. Is it going to have social media elements to it as well?
Most definitely.
Very much
is.
So, yeah.
No, definitely is.
Talk us through those and how they might work.
Okay, from a let's just first look at the timeline of development that we're currently looking at before we go to the detail of the social media.
Sure.
So we're currently in development phase of, I'm not sure if we're going to call it alpha or beta version, which will be available to use from the, somewhere in May 2018. That is where we will only focus on rugby, I always say rugby, golf and professional fitness, general fitness.
Okay.
We will then expand that in later versions of the software. In May, we will have a launch event planned, which will be broadcasted or streamed globally. And we hope to list on an exchange, a crypto exchange, the token in July. But, okay, so from a social perspective, that will be later versions of the software, not too much later. I don't know if you've heard of a blogging platform called Steemit.
No.
You can have a look at that. What Steemit does is they do, just like you have a Reddit or a Medium environment.
Yes.
Where you write a blog and you get updates and your posts move up to the top. They do something very similar, but they incentivize you with a tip, with a crypto token.
Okay.
So as you blog, you get some crypto tokens. We are actually working with them on various aspects level from a technology perspective, where we are developing their mobile apps, etc. So that'll typically be the first type of social media integration that we'll do. So we will give the supporters, the parents, the opportunity to post the information on our platform, where the pictures. So very Facebook-like information, but again, you'll be incentivized through a crypto token to publish this information. So it's more on the crypto side of social media that we're looking at this point in time, as I believe that the world is evolving. Everything is evolving. Social media is evolving. So yes, those aspects will be brought into the application as well.
Okay, let's take my example, and I'm sure there's, you know, the majority of people are like me, rather than aspiring to be pro sportsmen. Natalie, I'm a bit of a weekend warrior trail runner. I use a Garmin watch. I connect to Strava. Would this platform be of use to me? Would I get value out of it?
So absolutely. I think something that I've come across throughout this project, and I mean, I learn in leaps and bounds, I think, every day, every week. And I think as an athlete, number one, the ability to take that information and input it and actually be rewarded. So as long as you have our application or our app and then, you know, a bank account, basically you can earn money for information you put up. So very much like your Garmin, very much like Fitbit, where you actually go onto it and you can actually see others and what they've done, the training that they've done. You can start comparing yourself or, you know, not comparing yourself, but maybe changing your program. You know, those types of things are possible with this type of software. What's nice is that you'll be rewarded. It will be a simple process, and you know, those that do dabble in crypto will see the process from the application into your bank account, basically. But I think what's nice is it's not just for those people that have a Garmin watch or information like that. It will ultimately be for that school child who maybe comes from, you know, a township somewhere that kind of their parents would never be able to afford it. As long as, you know, most of them have phones digital phones at that. So from that perspective, as long as they have the app, they'll be able to earn some money. And, you know, they might be able to tour. They might be able to go on those school trips. And I think that ultimate growth is where we would like to see athletes. So it's aimed at the general public. In terms of, you know, those that go for runs and has Garmin, et cetera, but it's more aimed, I think, at those kids.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah. I think just to add to what Natalie's saying, the reason that we're starting with devices is that the accuracy of the information is extremely important to us. I'm going to ask Peter to speak about the diligence and the accuracy of the information and how we ensure accuracy, but people don't trust other people entering data, for a start. And that is why we only starting with devices because it's more difficult for people to jump out the system.
Right.
But we've got a way where we build a reputation for the per user of the system, and you'll be rewarded on based on your reputation, of which accuracy is a very strong component of, as well as your diligence. So it's very important that we understand that, because if you look at something like Steemit, which is just a blogging site, there was no a way that they actually asked people to not plagiarize on the platform. But what happened through time is the community themselves got involved. They are policing other people from plagiarism, etc. like that. They'll downvote you. And we hope the same will happen with our solution, where people are incentivized for providing accurate information. And people just start policing each other. It's just human nature. But Peter, I want to ask you a bit about the diligence and those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, I think you touched everything. We want to reward people for adding the information. So the first thing you want to do is, if people do it diligently, if they do it every day and you get regular information of everything they're doing, we want to reward that. But like Jaco said, that information has to be accurate. So on our site, we have some measures to indicate the accuracy. It either comes from a device or it's a team sport. So you get verified by your peers. Or actually some algorithms that can catch out some anomalies in the system. But accuracy basically multiplies your diligence. So if your information is accurate, then you actually get a reward. If your information is inaccurate, you completely lose your reputation and you get less reward.
Just like in life, it's difficult to build a reputation, but very easy to lose it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, you know, in terms of the actual project and Sports Podium on a whole, it will range between all different age groups, so different levels of sport, different age groups, etc. So, you know, this can also lead to the Olympian or the person striving to become an Olympian. And I think what's nice about blockchain specifically is that it will eradicate corruption in many ways. So from that perspective, I think, you know, the actual, not just the coin or the cryptocurrency, but I think the concept itself merges business and sport in a very unique, but I think a very amazing way that doesn't bring in individuals. It will be community-based. And as Peter says, it's about that credibility and from that side. So there's a lot to learn and a lot to grow as well for individuals using the app or using Sports Podium.
So Tom, you say you're going to build a global database. Do you go global from day one, or do you start focusing on the South African market first?
We will market to South Africa first, but anybody in the world can use the system. If you play golf anywhere in the world, you will be able to add your data. But we will start focusing on South Africa first. It's just easier to be close to home. And we are South African. We want to give the guys an early start. But anybody in the world is definitely global, but not marketed globally.
Right.
So the marketing drive will start locally
in South
Africa.
Okay.
Yes.
But we plan to go international really soon. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, look, so this is an international system. This is not a South African system.
So where do you go next? A big market like the US?
Look, that's a difficult question. We are speaking in the process of speaking to various of the databases that already capture golf information. Mm. So, look, Steemit, for example, based all what we're doing at Steemit, because it's a very similar environment where you are incentivized for value that you provide. In Steemit, you provide the blogging value, so you write a blog, that's the value you get, and you get the value back in the form of a token. Communities spread quickly. Steemit is totally globally based, and they're just over a year old. And they've got many, many thousands of people on the system currently. So, it also depends on where the ambassadors currently sit. That will be another drive from their side.
The type of sport, of course.
Also the type of sport. It's a difficult. Let's start it. Let's create the platform and see where it goes.
We are going to do rugby is also one of our first targets for a sport. So just by that, you can deduce we'll go to Australia and New Zealand.
Right.
Yeah, European
all the sports countries.
Those will probably be one of our first international markets.
Okay.
So and I think, if I come in, just before the in the sporting side of things, I think, you know, it's South Africa has come up with a lot, you know, the first heart transplant, et cetera. So to keep it sort of the leading in South Africa, however, it moving out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's special about it. And, you know, we're also very South African. So, and we can do a lot of growth within South Africa, hence why we chose South Africa first. And literally just grow from that.
I thought that you'd be pushing for swimming to be one of the first sports to focus on.
Funny enough, I think, you know, between Robert and Yaku, and I think Peter as well, they've all got kids that swim. Chris managed a lot of the swimmers. So from that perspective, swimming is one of those sports that will come in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Peter will be able to explain this a little bit more. But in terms of the actual data that's captured, it's important to be able to fine-tune. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the techie guys had sort of seen the golf aspect of it and started mm-hmm. with golf. But I think in terms of the sport and the fitness side, that can pertain to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, even myself, I haven't been swimming for years, and I got a little Fitbit, just the bottom of the range Fitbit, but it pushes to my cell phone and I don't have to download any data. And from that, it inspired me to do more and more exercise. So, mm-hmm. You know, to sleep better, et cetera, as well. So that is a positive.
Great. Well, Peter, you're the Chief Technology Officer of Sports Podium. Let's talk a bit about the technical aspects of this. Can you take us through the technical underpinnings of it? First of all, what are you doing with blockchain exactly? You're launching your own crypto token or cryptocurrency. Is it correct to use the term cryptocurrency?
Cryptocurrency.
What's that cryptocurrency going to be called? Or what is it called?
So it's Podium from Sports Podium. Mm-hmm. And the actual token is called a pod.
A pod.
So
okay.
like a rand, you'll have a pod.
Uh-huh.
That's what we'll call the token. Let's start with the blockchain. So,
sure.
Lots of advantages of using a blockchain. And I think I just want to highlight a few main ones and tell you why we chose what we chose. Blockchains give you that distributed architecture where you know, it's not centrally controlled, and you can have distributed governance that makes the system less gameable or controllable. And that's an important thing for us in Sports Podium, as we aim to go anti-corruption and anti-control and try to be fair, bringing fairness back to sports. That's what we want to do. So blockchain is really good for that. The other thing about a blockchain is it's transparent. So everyone's got a copy of the blockchain, or everyone running a node. So to be, you can't cheat the data. You know, if once a transaction is agreed, it's in there and it cannot be changed. It's immutable. No one can fiddle with the data and cheat on a time or change this little bit of information. That's also really important. And then blockchain support cryptocurrencies, of course, because of this nature, you can literally do transactions on the blockchain and be safe about the transactions not being executed, you know, in way malicious for malicious purposes. So the technology we chose to go with is called Sirius. So that is our the blockchain technology we're going with. And Sirius can actually host various projects. So Sports Podium won't be the only project on the Sirius blockchain. But what makes Sirius unique is that it combines some features from the Bitcoin world. In fact, all of the features from the Bitcoin world or Bitcoin blockchain, in terms of the way transactions work and you know, being interfaceable to payment gateways and all of these services. Combine that with the Ethereum blockchain's ability to run smart contracts. So these smart contracts are really important for us because we also want to do various other tasks on the blockchain and make sure that they execute fairly. An example is, for example, to distribute donor funding fairly and transparently. So we have the smart contract that executes, and some money comes in and it says, I want these people to get that money. And instead of you giving a school 100,000 rand and they use 5,000 rand to buy some t-shirts and shorts, you can actually clearly see, okay, the 100,000 rand goes to cricket bats and gear and everything to these people, and it's all transparent. So distribution of money is very important. You can drive that through a smart contract. And these are all combined in this blockchain called Sirius. The other feature of the blockchain Sirius that is really important as well is the ability to manage an identity. So currently, most cryptocurrencies are very anonymous, and people don't want to be linked to an account and know who's doing what. And although it's transparent, or with some blockchains it's transparent, the ability to manage an account with different transactions associated with that account is not available on most blockchains. So what Sirius gives us is identity context that you can manage, and you can have various accounts, and you can have multiple sports, for example, with various accounts on those, but they can all be linked back to an identity. So that'll allow us to do things, a simple thing like password management. So if you lose your Bitcoin key, then your money's gone. No one can help you. There's no one that you can call or do anything. And Sirius provides something that you can actually manage that in a way to help people do that. I think it's a really important feature. It sounds stupid, but it's actually important. It'll stop something from being used.
So take us through. I was having a look at your website this morning before coming through here, and you mentioned you're doing this in four phases. You're going to have a pre-token sale phase. Have you done that phase at this stage? Or is that still coming?
Yeah, so the token sale,
many things are changing, as we said. Yeah.
Okay.
So the cryptocurrency or the blockchain industry evolves faster than you can believe.
I'm sure.
It's faster than IT. It's moving at the speed of light. It is evolving into a point. We wanted to do an ICO last year, which we did not do. Due to the evolving process, the evolving industry, I think there was five ICOs done last year in South Africa, all failed. And we decided we were not ready. And now we've got multiple options. We found some early backing funding, hence building the software, as we said here. And in the next 2 weeks to a month, we'll make a decision if we are going the last year ICO route, which is now last year, or are we doing something different? We haven't decided exactly what we're going to do. The ICO is definitely still on the table. There's more reasons to do it than not. But mostly, the reason for doing an ICO is we are creating a token economy, and we want to distribute this token of ours as widely distributed as possible. And an ICO is just one way to get the distribution into many hands, because then you've got much more influences in the economy and the decision-making processes. So we want to have the community involved. We want them to tell us, do rugby next or do swimming next. So the more people have an incentive to use the system, the more people, the better for us.
So what really went wrong with those five ICOs that happened in South Africa, and what are the ways of ensuring that doing an ICO in this market specifically proves successful?
I think the main reason why most ICOs goes wrong is in 2017, there was too many. You had to stand out from the crowd.
Right.
And it was, like they call it, the year of the ICO. So I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to the guys that we went wrong. I'm not sure what went wrong with them. We just decided it's better not to do it at that point in time.
So the vast majority of people probably just don't even know that these ICOs are happening in the
probably,
first place.
Yeah.
So there's a marketing aspect to it, but I think also the people that play in these ICOs, the crypto investors, are a very specific group of people, and they have very specific rules and ways they evaluate teams as well. And I think evaluating teams is one of the major things that they do. So that's critical when you launch an ICO, a reputable team that can be trusted to execute this project and make this thing work. And that is an absolute have to have. And also ICOs, they came in waves. In middle of last year, it was almost all ICOs were successful, and then it went down again. And then just after, in the December, January, ICOs picked up again massively. So I think it comes in seasons almost like that. It's where these people want to send their money and where they try to...
You've got to pick the right time.
Yeah. Pick the right time. There's definitely a timing issue. But ICOs are now doing well again.
Sure.
I think maybe if I can come in here as well, in terms of marketing and sort of the communication side, I think there's a lot of... what would you call it, information that's mistaken in terms of, you know, it is very, there's a handful of people that will, you know, like the project or not like the project, etc. So the more reputable you are, obviously, the better standing you have. But I think it's also, you know, they often don't work because they think they've got all the marketing because they think it's like the rest of the world, but it's actually not like that at all. So, you know, Sports Podium is also playing in a field in which we in sport and we're in the crypto side. So we have to play with two target markets. And that also gets a little challenging sometimes. And I think that's where our team has grown tremendously in terms of being able to be in both those markets. And I think that's been a positive.
Yes, definitely a big positive.
And for us to not have done the ICO, I think we grew
tremendously.
In leaps and bounds. And, you know, Yaku, Pitcher, and I think Rob and part of the team as well, they also, you know, helping out with other crypto, what do you call them, companies. You know, advising because we're in this ever evolving world and it grows extremely quickly. I think, you know, they've also become leaders in that field as well. So it's not just about Sports Podium, but it's that whole sector. And in that manner, I think Sports Podium just went from this little, you know, little company to something that's a lot more.
Okay.
Also, Duncan, another thing that happened in the ICO industry last year. If you look back at the internet, for example, the internet evolved as well. You started with a World Wide Web out there. It evolved to Web 2. We had social media, all those kind of things. Same is happening in the blockchain industry, crypto industry. The industry's platform, or the base platform, is being built. So just like the internet evolved, crypto evolved. Or blockchain involved, and many of these projects that was very successful ICOs are platform businesses that is laying the foundation to the rest of the industry that's going to grow. We're in the very, very beginning of blockchain. There's still many, many things that will come.
So all the applications really that go on top of these platforms, I think they're all still to come. At least the popular ones.
Sure.
But yeah, as Jacques said, last year was the year of the platform.
Yeah.
And so many new exciting technology platforms out there, making it available for everyone to just make it boom.
So Jacques, did you say earlier that you're looking to list, if that's the correct term, your crypto token on an exchange?
A cryptocurrency exchange, yes.
By May this year.
By July this year. That's good.
Okay. Will you look at a local crypto exchange? Or?
Unfortunately, there's not many local ones. We would love to, if we can, have a local one.
Yeah.
But it will have to be an international one where they accept what they call altcoins.
Okay.
So there's a few exchanges that we're speaking to. There's also a new exchange that's also launching at the same time than we do. I'm actually not sure how to pronounce their name.
The Axie.
Yeah. They are planning to launch about the same time than us. We're already speaking to them. We're speaking to guys from Bittrex, the exchange. And we would love to be on as many possible exchanges as we can. Because ultimately, to create this token economy that we are after, the main thing is, just like any other economy, there must be people that have the token to spend, and there must be ways for them to spend it. That is what everything is about. It's about the supply and demand. The more people that owns our token, and the more people that want our token, will drive up the price of our token, the pot.
So you want this to be a transactional currency. This isn't going to be a store of value.
100%.
Yeah.
I always use an example. I've got two little kids at school, and it's expensive. All these different sporting disciplines that they need to participate in. I mean, this month is athletics, then is hockey, then is netball, etc., etc. And I think many parents feel that way. If you can find, if you can be incentivized for the information that you provide, you can use that tokens that you receive to purchase this new equipment that you need through time. So there will definitely be a online stores, and again, we want to make that part of the community. We will develop the code for the industry, and if somebody wants to start a store, online store that sells sporting equipment, please speak to us. We will make the code available to you through time. It's not part of the first version, though.
Sure.
But anybody can own a store like that. and be able anywhere in the world. And we want to help people to start these online stores across the world.
And down the line, will you talk to physical world retailers about integrating POD into their point of sale devices?
Let's see. That's far down the line.
Far down the line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just first start it, get it into people's hands, and then we take it step by step. Mm-hmm. You don't want to run before you can crawl. Yeah.
Partnerships are critical, so we are definitely looking at partnerships. And I reckon the big sporting brands and retail outlets and all of those will definitely be on the list. Mm-hmm. But currently, not.
We are not speaking to anybody yet, but we will.
Yeah.
We will.
How many digital tokens are you going to issue? Have you got that far?
That'll change as well now. We wanted to, at the time of the ICO, when we wanted to do the ICO, we had a very clear idea of how much we have to release to be able to do that. It will depend, because you don't want to get too many in the beginning out there. It must be a fair process to distribute, because you'll have much less users in the beginning using the application than you'll have later. And then, look, there's always discussions. We're also looking at bringing economists into the mix with us. We're speaking to various people.
Economists love this stuff.
Yeah. Look, it's an economy at the end of the day. It's just a token like an e-book. But there will be an economy behind it. There's certain rules that we need to adhere to. Uh-huh. I'm a technical person, as you know. I know business, but economy is a specialist industry. So when we have specialist industries, we bring specialists on board.
But will you issue a set number of pods, or might you issue more down the line?
It depends on if we do the ICO or not.
Okay.
So the ICO determines if we'll have a fixed supply of pods. Mm-hmm. But if we do not go the ICO route and we look at other alternatives to distribute the coin, maybe airdrops or other ways, the coin supply will be reevaluated. And like Yaku said, we'll look at the economy and making sure that we support the economy and make sure that it is healthy in the future to try to get that.
But one thing is very important to understand is that when we decide, when we understand what needs to happen, it will be set in stone and that won't change. If you look at, again, I'm going to mention Steemit, they don't have a fixed supply. I don't know the exact algorithm, but there's they do some a percentage of the current market cap of the new coins, so they will always print new coins because of the massive industry that they target.
Right.
There's various models, so as I say, when we know, we will publish that in our white papers on the website, and it will be, we'll take it from there.
So you'd just simply issue the digital tokens. It wouldn't be a case of with Bitcoin where you have to use computing power to mine them.
Oh yeah, so the blockchain we're using, the Sirius blockchain, is not what they call a proof of work blockchain. So the proof of stake, which basically means there's no competition between the nodes to actually write a new transaction to a block or commit a block to the blockchain. That has a few advantages. First of all, you don't need the world's energy supply to run your little blockchain. So the green people will be much happier. You only have as many nodes as you need to actually support the number of transactions.
Right.
The other thing is you can do a lot more transactions. Currently, Bitcoin can only do like 5 or so per second. Ethereum is in the tens. And they're very expensive as well. I think Bitcoin transaction the other day was almost $30 to $40, which is mad for just one transaction. Okay, Ethereum is like a tenth of that, but Sirius is going to be a thousandth of that. So being able to every day transact simple using the pod as a cryptocurrency is very important to us. That's one of the reasons why we went for Sirius.
Yaku, as we start to wrap up here, maybe just take me through the milestones that you, and I know these things change all the time, but maybe just take me through the milestones you see achieving up to the July listing on a crypto exchange.
Okay. Currently, where we sit,
we
are in development phase of the alpha/beta, which will give a call to, give a name to it. Let's call it beta version, will go live in May. That will happen. I've had a long conversation with Peter about that, because we have to make that target deadline.
Sure.
That's a big milestone for us. At the, we will have a launch event also in May. where we will release this. Like I mentioned earlier, we hope to stream the event live to the whole world, as a specific target audience. When we make the decision if it will go ICO or an alternative route, that will happen in June.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do an ICO, June's your date. And then very important is to be listed on an exchange. If you want to give these tokens to the world, they must have a way to use the token.
Mm-hmm.
So that will happen in July. And then for the rest of the year, we'll add more sports, bring on more ambassadors. At the event, at the launch event, we'll also announce some more names. We've already got well-known sporting guys that have agreed to be ambassadors, which we'll then launch or announce on the day of the event. Bring as many as users as possible. Unfortunately, it's not one of those applications where you can bring on users before the launch. But on the launch event, the app will be available for download, and people like yourself, taking part in weekend events, training, can use it from May onwards. June ICO, July listing on exchange, and then adding more sports from July to December.
Can I just add to that, Jaco?
Yes, sure.
So when Jaco say beta version and launching in May, that includes basically the ability to add some information, so recording information on blockchain, and also having a wallet, so that you know there's a store for your cryptocurrency. You can say, okay, this is my balance, and you can send it to people and so forth.
Yeah.
But that is only the very bare minimum that we need for the sports podium. So after that, we on the platform side, there's a whole lot of development that needs to happen to be able to support the e-commerce side of things. So. Also doing advertising and writing all of the interfaces to the external systems so that people can build their shops and all of that. So that has to happen as well. So I think continuously after the beta version that will happen in addition to adding sports.
Definitely. It's very important. The platform will grow and the sporting applications on top of the platform will also grow.
Adding a sport is also it's a very involving exercise. All the sports are different. You do different kinds of exercises. Performance get measured differently. Different kinds of tournaments. It might be individual or team. And so the underpinning algorithms to determine what's your reputation, all those things are very different for every sport. So for us to say we're adding a sport is actually
it's a big thing.
It's a great effort.
And I think that's where the community will also come in. So the ambassadors, the community will be able to give a say as to, you know, in swimming, it's about diet. It's about, doing a bit of gym work, a bit of this, a bit of that. So that will also come throughout this. You know, it's a community. And that's ultimately what, you know, what Sports Podium and what blockchain allows, if I can call it that. So from that perspective, I think Peter, you know, and the development team is going to have to develop for sport, but also to get all that information. So it's not just about, what would you call it, just one person controlling. It's not just Sports Podium creating. Mm. They're creating the ability for other people to also give input and share, etc., because it's about them. And really it comes, you know, Sports Podium came from just that. It came from, you know, Jaco seeing a lot of people or friends of his that didn't have the ability to actually compete for South Africa. They were just kind of overlooked. And, you know, this is that ability at the end of the day.
Great stuff. Thanks, Natalie. Jaco Rousseau, Peter Buerta, Natalie Dutoy, thanks so much for talking to Tech Central and all the best of luck with Sports Podium.
Thanks very much.